What's up, cool kids? Welcome back to another episode of the Ghoulish Gallery. Each week we have a guest from a different location here to tell us about their local spooks, haunted places, cryptids, urban legends, etc. And this week we have Casey Griffont. Did I say that right? Griffont?
I usually go with Griffont, but a lot of people say Griffont.
Oh, okay, Griffont.
Griffont would be preferable, but either's fine, really.
Speaking of audio editing, Casey Griffont, hailing from San Diego. So thank you for volunteering to come on here and chat with me. I've spent some time in San Diego. I was there for 3 months, I think, and then I ended up living a little bit further north, but it was beautiful, and I kind of miss bits and pieces. So how are you?
Good, and thanks for having me. I've been in San Diego about almost 9 years now. I moved from Boston, so pretty drastic change.
Yeah, that is.
I'm good.
Yeah, I feel that. I went from New York to San Diego, so it's all the snow, all the miserable cold weather. Nope, bye.
It's a dramatic change, for sure.
Yes. It's like culture shock at that point. So have you always been interested in spooky horror things? Like, how much of a horror fan are you versus just kind of like creepy stuff?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think as a kid, I was always interested in horror stuff like R.L. Stine, any kind of spooky tales. You know, Halloween was my favorite holiday. And then as an adult, I realized most of the stories I wrote were actually classified as horror, which took me a while to realize for some reason. I did a lot of sci-fi and fantasy, but usually kind of dark, creepy endings. So yeah, I would say I've been kind of a horror fan for a pretty long time.
That's awesome. I feel like R.L. Stine is just the OG. He's just like where everybody started. And I really wish I still had all my Goosebumps books.
They were so good. I actually met him once in Boston briefly, and he was so nice. He was just the nicest guy.
I'm super jealous. I was always so excited. Like, my mom's boyfriend would buy me Goosebumps books. Like, my brother would get a Matchbox car and I'd get a Goosebumps book. And I was always so excited when I saw him walk in the door with a bag. So I was like, yes, I have more reading to do tonight. Sweet. All right. Now, are you a movie fan too, or primarily are you a reader when it comes to?
I would say movie fan for sure, but I differ from a lot of horror movie fans in that I don't actually like a lot of gore and blood and guts, kind of that, splatter horror.
Yeah.
It's just not for me. I prefer the more psychological, but still supernatural horrors. So there's like a very kind of narrow, I guess, niche of horror. Enjoy anything with monsters, any sci-fi horror, those are big ones for me.
Oh, I love a good sci-fi. Aliens are like my jam. So anything I see with aliens, I'm like, it's either gonna be really good or really bad, but I'm gonna watch it either way. I just don't even care. They're like, just come save us, beam us up, we'll be good.
Right.
All right. So what do we have in San Diego? I remember hearing little bits and pieces about Coronado Island too when I was down there. But I know, especially being down there, like I've heard all kinds of stories. So I am looking forward to what we've got from you.
Yeah. So San Diego's interesting because most people think of it as kind of beaches, laid back attitude, kind of surfers. Military, but it actually has a pretty long history of ghosts throughout the whole city. So you hear about haunted posh hotels, dock boats, historic hotels, and then the one I'm going to talk about primarily is the Whaley House, which has been named America's most haunted place a few times by Life magazine and others. And I know those rankings, there's a lot of places considered the most haunting in America.
Yeah.
So it was on the list in like 2005 or something, but it's probably the most haunted place in San Diego. God. It's in an area called Old Town, which was kind of the primary or let me start again. It's in an area called Old Town, which is where San Diego first formed in the 1820s, I believe. And it's a really interesting place. It's still preserved. There's a Old Town San Diego State Historic Park now where you can go and see all of these old buildings and really get a sense of history and hauntings. There's really old graveyards and all kinds of interesting things to see. And it's in Old Town where the Whaley House was built in 1857 by this guy, Thomas Whaley. And it's kind of interesting because before he built his house, he actually watched a public execution on that same land of this guy, James Robinson. He was executed for stealing a boat. And before that area was a gallows, it was apparently a cemetery, and they removed the headstones kind of like in Poltergeist.
That never ends well for anybody.
Yeah, and it did not end very well for the Whaley House either. But so Thomas Whaley built his house there on that land. And it was a pretty big building at the time. It was like, at the time it was a storefront as well as his house, a theater. I guess old buildings back then kind of served multiple purposes for the community. So he built it. It's this big, beautiful home. And kind of right away, he started to notice strange things in the house. Primarily, he reported hearing heavy footsteps and seeing kind of muddy footprints throughout the house. And he lived there with his wife and children. And he said, you know, no way was it their footsteps. This was much heavier. He became convinced that Robinson's poltergeist lived in this house and was haunting their house. So it kind of started right off the bat. And then things just got worse.
I'm just trying to imagine like seeing somebody executed on a piece of property and going, you know, I think I'd like to own that and build my house there.
Yeah, it was an interesting choice for sure.
You'll see that in the real estate listings for houses.
Yeah, so he saw, you know, he experienced this so-called poltergeist for a while. And then the family tragedy started. His 18-month-old son died of scarlet fever in that house. That was the first, I believe, death in that house. And later on, one of his daughters, Violet, actually shot herself. And she had just gotten married. 2 weeks later, her husband fled. Apparently, he was a con artist and was only interested in their money. So he fled in the middle of the night. She was so overcome with embarrassment because at the time it was really, you know, not great for somebody to, quote, lose their husband. So she was embarrassed. The family was embarrassed.
So despite the fact that it's like his fault, it just always somehow it's like poor reflection of her. That exactly. Always nuts with horror or history.
Right. Especially back then, I think a well-to-do family, even more so, like that sort of humility that is cast on the family was a really big deal. Mm. So she kind of sank into a depression and I think tried to kill herself a few times, but ended up shooting herself with her father's gun in the house. So she is one of the ghosts that a lot of people report seeing as well. Those were the two big tragedies, the son and the daughter. And then a few other family members died of natural causes in that house. And Whaley had moved away and come back, and there was a long history with the Whaley House. But ultimately today, it's a tourist attraction. You can go, you can do a tour there. And a lot of people report all kinds of things, from whispering to hearing the baby cry to seeing what looks like the ghost of the daughter. It's a really good tour. I highly recommend it for anybody visiting San Diego. And that whole area just feels very kind of historic and haunted. But the Whaley House in particular, when you go inside, a lot of people report feeling a weird pressure or just strange feelings that I experienced a little bit of. And I'm pretty skeptical when it comes to ghost encounters. Mm-hmm. But it was definitely just this strange feeling. And I don't know how to explain it.
I really wish I'd known about more of these places when I was out there. But I was honestly like so excited to be in California that all I wanted to do was just go to the beach. So I definitely like missed out on things because that definitely would have been a fun place to check out.
Yeah, most people don't realize how haunted San Diego is. It's it's always fun to tell visitors about it because I didn't know until I moved here. There's a really big horror community and horror writers community here in San Diego. So through them, we've kind of I've learned quite a bit.
Mm. And are you a documentary fan too when it comes to stuff like that?
I've watched some, and actually I just read that the Whaley House is going to be on one of those ghost hunting shows. Okay. And I can't remember which one, but it's I think coming up, which will be cool to see.
Oh, that's awesome. I'll hear random bits and pieces because of course in Tennessee there's a lot of like the Civil War kind of history and hauntings and stuff like that. So I usually like just catch bits and pieces here and there, and then I pick and choose which ones I'm actually going to spend more time looking into and reading about. And there's supposedly one that is like just up the road from me that it's like 15 minutes away and I've never heard anything about it. One of my friends sent it to me online, and it's one of those like Lover's Lane kind of deals, except the husband like skinned the man that his wife was having an affair with. So he is supposedly the one that like haunts it. And I was like, how do you not talk about that? How is that not the story that I hear living 15 minutes down the road? Come on, guys.
It's amazing how many hauntings and ghost stories there are. Like no matter what town you go to, what area, there's always stories.
Yeah, no, it's so sad. Like some of them are really great so that, you know, to hear that so many of them like don't make it mainstream. Obviously it's impossible to make everything, you know, better known, but I really wish a lot of them were. So hopefully I'll be able to do a little bit of that through this. So yeah. That's the plan. And so with Old Town, now, cause I had mentioned before we started, like I've heard bits and pieces about Coronado. Is that kind of more of like one of the touristy places typically that?
Yeah. So Coronado Island is adjacent to San Diego. You just drive over a bridge to get to it. It's a beautiful beach area. And there's an old hotel there that is also said to be haunted. That hotel, I think, has one primary ghost. Her name is Kate Morgan, and she's been sighted quite a bit. I believe she was also on a ghost hunting tour. People identified hearing her and seeing her, and she had checked into this hotel. It's called Hotel Del Coronado. It's a beautiful hotel, historic, overlooks the beach, definitely worth visiting if you're ever in the area. So this woman, Kate Morgan, checked in the late 1800s and never checked out, as the saying goes. She, I believe, had a broken heart. She was waiting for a male friend to join her. He never did. She ended up taking her own life in the hotel. And then the sightings began and still go on today, apparently.
I feel like the ghost population would be cut in half if men had just showed up. The number of like brokenhearted, disappointed women ghost stories there are out there, like I feel like it would legit just be cut in half. It's so terrible.
Oh, that's a good point. I mean, there's something about the heartbreak tied with the tragedy of death that maybe results in these hauntings more.
Sticks around and definitely always makes for a good story when it comes to the emotional stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
excuse my ADD. Back to the Whaley House. Now, did anybody else live there after his family did, or did it just become kind of a preservation society sort of?
I believe one of his relatives took it over and restored it. It fell into disrepair a few times and then was built back up. But I think after the family lived there, it became, I don't know if it became a tourist attraction right away, but it was always kind of this hub for people to gather. Mm-hmm. I think that continued, and then it became kind of this historic landmark.
That makes sense. There's there's been a couple of places in like upstate New York where I'm from. We have one called the Pink House, and it is an old Victorian house that is as pink as you can get for a house. And they make like little pins and all the touristy fun gifts and souvenirs and stuff like that. But it's always sad, like when you hear about buildings like that that just kind of fall into disrepair and just never get taken care of. I mean, just even from a history standpoint, it's always kind of a bummer to lose out on some of that.
Right. That's why I think the historic preservation societies are so essential. Okay. They're just, you know, crucial to preserving that history.
Yeah. I'd like to, I mean, I know they have apps like, you know, Meetup, I think, is one of like the group. Yeah. I had kind of looked around before when I first moved here in 2017 to see, you know, if there was anything that kind of lined up with my interests. But also, since I've lived here, my interests have changed so much in the last few years that I feel like maybe it's time to give it a go again and see what pops up. I've been surprised. I've got quite a few horror community neighbors in terms of other states. I haven't really found anybody. I mean, most of my contacts are through Twitter, and I haven't really found anybody that's local, or some that are like just a couple hours away. Mm. But it really is amazing how much you can find out even about, you know, where you live, that somebody else knows things about where you live that you didn't. So that's the best part of like networking with everybody.
For sure. I found Twitter to be a very good hub too for horror fans and horror authors. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, a great spot for anybody who's looking for more information on hauntings.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Anything horror related.
Yes. Heaven forbid if you ask for book recommendations or movie recommendations, because the list will be longer than you can ever possibly accomplish. There's just no crossing everything off at that point. Now, with like
so the haunting I wanted to mention is the other hauntings I wanted to mention in Southern California are tied to boats. So we actually have the Queen Mary not too far from San Diego, the Long Beach.
Long Beach. I really wish I'd gotten up there for that.
Oh, for StokerCon?
Mm.
Just to visit. It was
everything.
StokerCon a few years ago was on the Queen Mary, and that was a great experience. But it's a very haunted ship. It's docked, and it apparently has a ton of ghosts that you can see. You can actually stay on the ship. We did StokerCon there a few years ago, and horror writers would stay on the ship, stay overnight, do the ghost tours. It was a lot of fun. But there's, I think it was two areas in particular that are very haunted. One is one of the pools, which is not a pool anymore, obviously, but apparently there was a drowning in the pool, and sometimes people will see kind of wet footprints, even though there's no water down there, or hear children or moaning. So that pool is a hub of a lot of supernatural activity. And then apparently there was also a worker who was killed by a doorway during a routine fire drill, and people spot him still. He has blue overalls and a beard, and he haunts that specific doorway where he was accidentally killed. And there's other hauntings too. I think they recorded a huge number of ghosts there. So that one is definitely worth checking out. And then here in San Diego, we have another ship called the Star of India, which is also docked, also in a historic ship. And that one too has a lot of ghosts, I think, just potentially retained from those trips out to sea where people died of, you know, tragic causes, natural causes. Supposedly some of those ghosts still kind of hang on and linger.
It's not specific to San Diego, but I've heard a lot of stories about like with cruises to Alaska and things like that. Like for so many people, it's like their last thing on their bucket list, but they have like an insane amount of people who pass away on cruises like that. I've never fact checked, but I can definitely see where that could lead to some scary ships. So you've been on the Queen Mary?
Yep.
How was it?
It was great. I didn't experience any kind of unnatural happenings, but I know of people who have. It's a big ship. It's so worth a visit. It's very cool. Just the history of it alone, even without the haunting aspect, is very interesting.
Mm-hmm. I want to say maybe it was Ghost Hunters that did a trip out there. Mm-hmm. I think I've seen a couple of different shows, honestly, where they've been out there. And I mean, it looks amazing. But of course, most of those are also done at night, where you don't really get to appreciate the aesthetics of the ship itself. You're just more looking for things to shadows that jump out at you and everything else. So yeah, I made it to the aquarium up in Long Beach, but I didn't actually make it on the Queen Mary. So I was bummed on that one. I really wanted to go around Halloween when they start doing the tours.
But yeah, they have great ghost tours during Halloween. I definitely recommend checking it out next time you're there.
Yeah, I need to make a trip back out there, because I wasn't particularly into horror at that point, which feels weird to say now because it's such a huge part of like everything I do. But yeah, I mean, I've always liked the ghost stories and everything involved. Mm-hmm. I just never really threw myself into it, so to speak.
Yeah, well, I also love the contrast of the Southern California kind of typical vibe to the ghost stories and hauntings. Like, you know, you expect ghost stories in the Northeast or places where, you know, it gets dark and wintry and has this kind of older history. So the ghost stories around San Diego are very interesting to me, just in a different way.
Yeah. Now that makes sense. I mean, the last place I lived before I moved, I was one town south of Laguna Beach. So I feel like so much of it, especially in the area, is geared towards the latest and the greatest and the shiniest and the newest. Wow. And, you know, there's just such a rush to make sure that you're just on, you know, the new edge, cutting edge of everything. So it is cool to think of it as, you know, a nice reminder that it hasn't always been like that, and nowhere is safe. There's spooky stuff everywhere.
Right. And the historic architecture is also so different than the East Coast, and very interesting with the Spanish influences. So that definitely adds kind of to the atmosphere, and it's very different than the East Coast.
Oh yeah. No, I love the architecture out there. Everything. I mean, my friends made fun of me because I'm so entertained by like little things like that. We'd just be like driving around and I'm like, oh, that house is so pretty. And they're like, what? Like, it looks like everything else out here. Like, but it's so different. It's just, it's all different and new and exciting. So don't rob me of this joy. Just let me enjoy those roof shingles and we'll just move on about our lives. So have you always been interested in writing? Is there something in particular that kind of inspired you to start doing it more and querying and that kind of thing?
So I've always been interested. I started writing, I don't know, when I was 8 years old, whenever you could actually write on a page.
It makes sense.
Yeah. And I would write these stories for the class. They were always read out loud. And my stories always ended with, it was all a dream. So a girl shrinks down and rides a paper airplane. It was all a dream. It was all a dream. To the point where at one point the class shouted out the ending before the reading was done. And it was a really good lesson in endings. They weren't too predictable. It still carried with me today.
Oh, I bet. That's good though. Like, to be at that age and thinking from the perspective of like a crazy plot twist at the end that just kind of throws everybody off kilter. And then of course you sent me an ARC for yours, so that review will be coming up around the time that it's released. We'll be in touch about dates and stuff like that. So I'm excited to get that out there. And one of those things is like a Western It's very Western focused. So do you have a lot of interest from that side too? Or is it this story in particular that just kind of popped into your head and needed to be told?
Yeah, it's funny because I did not really have an interest in Westerns growing up. I was always interested in sci-fi, fantasy, horror. And when I moved, I think it was a combination of two things that led to this interest in a Western themed story. One was moving out here to the West Coast, where you see some of the history and get some of those vibes of, you know, the frontier and Old West. People do reenactments here. There's all kinds of interesting cultural things that were inspiring. And then at the same time I moved out here, I started playing the Deadlands Doomtown card game competitively, which is a Weird West themed card game based on the Deadlands world. And it was really fun. It was a great way to meet gamers out here. And what drew me to it was the diversity of characters in it. So lots of women, lots of diverse characters, which kind of opened my mind to this idea of the Weird West being kind of more than what we typically think of as a Western. You know, most Westerns are very kind of archetypal, right? you have the cowboy, kind of stoic. You don't have a lot of women characters. You know, it was just not of interest to me personally, but I saw this world of the Weird West where you have women, you know, being gunslingers and doing all these interesting things. And I started writing some of the card flavor stories for that game through contacts I met. So that kind of got me in the mindset of writing some Weird West stories. From that, I thought of my characters who I wrote my own short stories for. Those were published in magazines, anthologies. So finally I built up a bigger world for these characters, and that's going to be shown in my debut novel, Melinda West Monster Gunslinger, coming out in February. And yeah, so it's kind of an interesting path to get to a Weird Western, which Weird Westerns are not hugely popular right now, but I am seeing a lot more this last year or two in terms of Weird West anthologies, novels coming out. So hopefully, you know, we're seeing a rise in interest there.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love board games. I have not heard of that one, so I'm absolutely going to have to look that up, because I've got a couple of friends that they're into like D&D and all that sort of thing. So I've seen some games played, but I've never really like gotten involved myself. But, you know, of course, with the horror community in general, it's hard not to see references here and there to things and not, you know, kind of start poking around to see, you know, what this is about and what that's about. So is that game kind of along the same lines of like a D&D with like just a different universe set up for it?
Doomtown is a collectible card game. So you build your deck and you play against somebody else with their own deck, and you have, you know, shootouts and magic and all of this. So it's not, it's sort of like, I would say more like Magic the Gathering a little bit. You refine your deck. It's really all about your kind of team and what they can do. And it was really fun. I haven't played it in a few years. For a while, my husband and I were playing competitively and we won some games, and we were just very involved in that community. It was pretty small game community, but it was fun. And it definitely inspired this interest in the Weird West. The other thing I really like about the Weird West is it's a chance to kind of reimagine this really critical time period in American history and bring in more of the perspectives that are typically not shown or historically haven't been shown. And, you know, just a chance to reimagine that mythos a little bit beyond what has typically been done.
No, that's fantastic. I'm actually really excited to read it because, I mean, like you said, you know, it's typically like, you know, the hardened cowboy. And I feel like women are just always these helpless, like arm candy figures who, you know, really aren't able to accomplish much or, you know, get much done on their own. When really, I mean, that life in general, trying to hack out a living from, get a living when you're, you know, hitting unknown territory and everything alone is crazy. But, you know there had to be some badass women out there that just never really made it to the pages to be recorded. So I think that's a really exciting take on it. So I'm definitely excited to read that.
Yeah, there's a lot of women historically that have done interesting things in that time period. But then the Weird West is fun because you also can make it up, right? It's not historic nonfiction. So it's definitely a fun genre to explore.
Hopefully I've seen some that I have like saved to my my ever-growing TBR list. But I hadn't gotten around to any of them yet. So I do think it is great with horror, especially because, you know, it doesn't all have to be like the blood and guts. You know, there's the crazy creatures and, you know, the insane psychological twists for things. And it's just like an endless, limitless genre, I feel like.
Right.
So it's been a lot of fun reading through, especially from, you know, a lot of my friends who are writing. They're a pretty diverse group in terms of the content that they cover. So it's always so exciting to see something new that I haven't dipped into yet to give it a shot and see how things go.
Awesome. Well, I hope you like it. And if you do, there's a lot of diverse weird Westerns out there that I'm still discovering. I think just because the genre has been a little under the radar, people are not super aware of it in popular culture, but there's so many great writers, indie writers and mainstream writers who have done diverse weird Westerns. So there's a lot out there if you end up liking the genre.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You'll definitely have to send me some of those recommendations. Now I kind of want to like do some research about more like Northern California too, where, you know, they had a lot of the gold rush, just to see what kind of popular spooky places are up there too. I was kind of disappointed I didn't make it to the Winchester House. I really wish I had stopped up there. And then I made a trip to San Francisco and we got to see Alcatraz from where we ate dinner, but you know, it was kind of a last minute trip. So we didn't really make a lot of plans in advance to get out there and do that kind of stuff. So really regretted it once I got there, but just to see it and be like, wow, this is an actual place is.
It's pretty intense. I've done a historic tour there, but not a ghost tour. And yeah, it's very just dramatic to learn about the prisoners and the history of the place.
Yeah, it definitely gives you a new appreciation. Like when you hear stories about people who tried to escape and everything, just seeing, you know, how isolated that island is out there, even though there's a city right next to it. Like it's definitely, I wouldn't have even bothered. I would have been like, you know what? I'm just stuck here. I'm not swimming in this water. The Pacific on its own was way colder than I expected when I got out there. Cause I was like, oh, it's California. Like everything's going to be warm. It's going to be great. No, no, it is not. And my dad came out to visit me at one point and I did not warn him specifically so he could get that full effect that I got the first time I stuck my toes in. So
yeah, the Pacific is as cold as I would say Boston Beach water, which surprised me when I first moved out here too.
Oh yeah, I was not anticipating that at all. But no, it's there's just so many things now that I'm like, man, I really wish I had been looking into this and that and everything else when I lived out there, because I feel like I've missed out on so much. And then of course when the pandemic and everything else, travel was non-existent. So I do still have friends out there that I'd like to make it back out there to visit. So I feel like I need to line up a ghost tour while I'm out there too.
Ah, if you ever make it to San Diego, let me know.
Yeah, absolutely. Now I know of course LA has them. Does San Diego do any of like the specialty haunted houses, like crazy things when the season rolls around?
Yeah, San Diego does some, you mean Halloween haunted houses? Yeah, there's some hotels, there's what's called the Balboa Trail. So we have a pretty big park that's just beautiful. It has
Been
two, yeah,
there.
it's
The
a
Rose
huge,
Garden, right?
there's the gardens, there's all kinds of things. Most of the museums are there. So they do a haunted trail every year where you're walking outside and you kind of get the experience of like Halloween hauntings.
Oh
So
man.
there's a lot of fun stuff like that. The only thing about San Diego Halloween that I'm still not used to, it's still very warm in October. Like
Oh
yesterday
yeah.
here, it was 90 degrees.
Huh.
So it doesn't feel like fun, compared to New England.
Yeah.
It's just such a contrast. So that, kind of takes the effect away a little bit when you're sweating and like trying to do these haunted things.
Yeah. No, that's like I always hated fall in New York because it meant winter was like right around the corner. And I just, it always felt like it came too soon. So I didn't really fully appreciate it until I want to say until I got to California. And then I kind of missed that difference, that it might still hit like 75 degrees in the fall in New England, but it still has that fall feel to it.
Right, for sure.
So I did kind of miss that. And now living in Tennessee this year, we've heard a lot of horror stories about what this winter is supposed to be like.
Oh,
We've actually had a couple of frosts already at night,
wow.
which is not normal for the last few years that I've
Wow.
been here. So I'm kind of dreading that a little bit. But
Understandable.
this year has definitely like the foliage has been great. I'm right next to the Great Smoky Mountains. So there's a lot of pictures from that, even the last couple of years have been kind of dull, but it's been a very vibrant year for that. So for my
Awesome.
first like full on horror fan Halloween, it's been like perfect.
Awesome.
So I'm excited for that. But yeah, and I had a lot of my friends in New York when I lived in California were like, does it even feel like Christmas if there's not snow? And I was like, well, I mean,
Cooler-ish.
I've seen like snowmen made out of sand and they set up ice skating rinks that aren't actually ice. So I was like, that you just have to learn to appreciate it on its own merit as opposed to trying to remember, because I do miss the look of a snowy Christmas. But of course, that also usually involves shoveling and
Right. Well,
all
the
kinds
nice
of
thing
work.
is you can drive not too far up to the mountains around here and see snow. So there's an
Oh.
option. Like a lot of people who live here still go snowboarding in the winter. Just have to drive a bit to get to the mountains.
So Big Bear, that's probably what, like four or 5 hours?
I
Maybe a
think
little more.
it's shorter. Compared to San Diego. I'm gonna say yeah, it's 3 hours
Oh,
with
okay.
traffic, but there's always traffic because you have to
Yeah.
pass LA.
The
So
nightmare of traffic.
yeah, but it's very nice. I mean, it's a higher altitude, you get snow, you get people snowboarding, skiing. So there is that option in
Yeah.
Southern California.
You
You
get a taste
can't
of
snow, you just have to go somewhere.
it. I think one of my favorites, we went over the mountains out into Anza Borrego, the desert out there. That was
Yeah.
really pretty too. But yeah, I was kind of disappointed because I hiked a lot and I really wanted to do sections of the Pacific Crest Trail.
Yeah, that would be
So,
awesome.
but I was always surprised like seeing pictures where people are like in thick jackets and they're freezing and everything else. Because of course, I mean, logically, it's the mountains, it's a higher elevation, it's going to be cold. But at the same time, there's just that California mindset where it's like, no, it's always warm. It'll be fine. I can wear flip-flops year round. There's nothing wrong with it. It'll be great. So I do kind of miss it, but I definitely have to plan like a ghost tour when I come back just to
For
hit.
sure.
I know I
There's
won't be
so
able to get everything, but I need it in my life. And it's fun to get bits and pieces of everywhere.
Especially for traveling. Like, it's nice to do a ghost tour on a trip. You just get a different perspective.
It's like the equivalent of watching like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives and planning your meals around the restaurants. Like, where do I want to go to eat? So when you were in Boston, was there any particular haunted areas that?
There's so many. Well, my favorite thing was going up to Salem, especially before Halloween, before the crowds
rushed in.
So many tours and just interesting corners. You're walking and you stumble across this interesting building or, some kind of landmark. So that I definitely recommend that for anybody visiting Boston, especially if it's not Halloween time, just because it gets so crowded. And year round, you still get that history, which is nice.
I don't know where it went. Just when I was getting ready for this, I had a headline that popped up just in the generic news that was something about Salem residents and talking about Halloween and what a nightmare it is to live there.
That too, it was trending on Twitter. I don't know if this year is worse for some reason, maybe because post-pandemic a lot of places are getting more of an influx of tourists than normal, but every year that I lived back in Boston would always avoid Salem those 2 weeks of October. Like, September is a great time to go, or very early October. So from what I understand on Halloween, it's almost like Mardi Gras, like just super crowded, and it can be fun to experience, I'm sure. You don't mind the crowds.
Yeah, I like to avoid people. Once you said that, it is right here on the website that I have pulled up still. It says, Salem is not Disney World. Here's what locals say living in which city is like in October. So I can just only imagine what it's like. I mean, it was, I guess, kind of similar as California, once vacation season hits and all the tourists roll in for that. But I feel like that's even kind of more year round just because of the weather.
Definitely summertime here is more intense. And then places like the Whaley House, of course, get really busy around Halloween.
Spooky season. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Last season.
Now, have you been to the Whaley House?
Yeah, I've been, I want to say, twice now. I like to take visitors if there's time, but I went once with a group of horror writers and then once when I first moved here. That first time I went, just had a very strange feeling in one of the upstairs rooms, almost like a pressure that I couldn't explain. I would love to think it's some sort of electromagnetic, vortex underneath the building or something, but it was just a strange feeling that I hadn't really had before. Uh-huh. And that's pretty much my main experience there. And I've had friends who go who've also felt kind of weird inside. I would have loved to see something or hear something. A lot of people take photos to get the possible images on there, but those are always hard to kind of verify and make sense of.
Mm-hmm. Have they, that you know of, have they ever done any work to dig up the previous cemetery, or have they just kind of
I don't think so. And those old cemeteries are interesting because the ground shift, right? The road shift. So you don't exactly know where those old bodies or bones actually are, right? Yeah. And that was the case in Boston as well. You have the landmarks for the different historic figures who have died, but you don't know if their corpse is actually underneath there, if things have shifted.
Just knowing. And I mean, honestly, it probably happens everywhere. You're just walking around and there's bodies under your feet and you have no idea. But... now I'm gonna have that in my head every time I go hiking. I always wonder with that, once they realize that, there's a cemetery there, how much or how often they really make attempts to relocate things.
Yeah, I kind of doubt it unless it's some sort of, you know, more spiritual place than an average cemetery, just because there's going to be so many, you know, bodies and tombstones and whatnot, that to relocate all of them as a default would probably not make a lot of sense.
Yeah, that'd be quite the undertaking. A lot of ground penetrating radar. Fantastic. Well, do you have any other ones coming up that you want to, any other projects or anything like that, that
shout out? I have some short stories coming out in various anthologies and magazines. Some of them are Weird West stories, others are horror. But really kind of the book coming out in February is my big focus, and I'm already trying to write the sequel kind of before it comes out. So hopefully I don't get distracted.
You can never be too proactive.
Right.
That's awesome. Well, I can't remember. Did I already get a list of all your socials?
I don't think so. I'll send it to you after this.
And I'll link those to for anybody who wants to find your work and get ready to go for February.
Awesome.
So, and I'll have to look up that card game, because that's I'm like fixated on that now. I need to get a look at this. And a lot of them are just so beautiful, just in general, just the artwork and the design and everything for the cards. Even that alone, I definitely appreciate those sort of things. I feel like more people should. They're very underappreciated.
It's a fun game. I recommend it. It's been a while since I played, so I'm sure there's lots of card updates and whatnot, but
always evolving.
Concept is fun. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me. This was
really absolutely fun. Like you said, I'll link all that, and it was definitely exciting to have you, especially because I've been to San Diego, so I kind of like have a general idea. Like, I know where these places are, some of them. So it's always a little extra exciting when you actually can picture in your head like where these places are. So
yeah, and Old Town is so like picturesque. I wish I could paint a picture of it, but there's nothing quite like seeing it. Especially if you're from the East Coast and not used to that kind of architecture.
It's like culture shock. Mm-hmm. Being out there, just walking around, taking it all in. So fantastic. I very much appreciate you taking the time to get this done. And we'll get this out around the time that pre-orders and stuff start.
That's awesome.
Coming out, drive up some attention. I'm all about that. Multitasking.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you. I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
That your dog comes back perfectly trained.
I just, at this point, I'll just be so glad to have him back. even if he's still a basket case, which, I mean, I'm kind of one, so I feel like it's only fair to expect that from him. So, we'll definitely be in touch. So I appreciate you, and you have a good weekend, ma'am.
Thanks. You too.
Okay, we'll catch you later.
Bye. Mm-hmm.